Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
OTB Sports Rugby.
Everyone in the world thinks Ireland should win. Yeah. If you pick the combined side, who'd get in from Wales? Jeez, I don't think.
Subscribe to the rugby stream on the OTB Sports app now.
OTB AM with Gillette. Get into your flow with the new Gillette Labs Razor with exfoliating bar.
Delighted to say we're joined on the line by football writer Martin Lipton. Morning, Martin.
Good morning. How are we all?
Flying the thanks. Thanks a million for taking our call. There's lots of good stuff to get our teeth into, but from this side of the water, we're interested to know whether you feel that Matt Doherty to Atletico was good business for the club or the player or a little bit of everything.
It's unfortunate, I think, that he's had to go, but from a Spurs perspective, for nothing by letting his contract be terminated. I think for Doherty, it's a good move to get a chance to play football. Clearly, he was going to be at best second choice, probably third choice with Porro's arrival at Tottenham, because he's been earmarked very much as the first choice. And I suspect that they would only play Emerson next because he would be more defensive if there was a game where they wanted to really batten down the hatches. So Doherty wouldn't play much unless he played on the left. His contract's running down. And it's a chance for him to play for a big team. Now, obviously, they've been knocked out of the Champions League, but they're still a big club, Atletico Madrid. And they need players, clearly. They're in a bit of a mess. So it gives him a chance to make an impact and qualify for Champions League again next season if he can convince them that he's worth a long-term contract.
There was a period of time where he'd like fallen out of favour with Conte and he just couldn't get into the team, and Conte would speak about it very publicly. And then at some point he turned the corner, and I don't know what that was in terms of fitness or understanding the system. But it felt like he was actually in a pretty good groove at Spurs. Is that overstating it?
I think the longer he was there, the better he played, actually. I think the first year was a disaster. The second year, when Nuno came in, started poorly and he didn't appear for a long time. And then he got himself into the team and then he got injured. And I think that hampered him over the summer. He had to work his way back in. He scored a goal the other week, didn't he? And I think the Spurs fans would say that they didn't see the best of him, but they saw more towards the end than they did at the beginning.
You touched on it there, Martin. Spurs had hit their limit of 8 international loans, so they couldn't, as it emerged later on in the evening on transfer deadline day, they couldn't loan him out to Atletico. It had to be a contract termination. Is that bad planning by Tottenham? I mean, as you said, they could have made some money out of him if they maybe planned it better.
I suspect that they initially thought that Spence would be going on loan to an English club. Okay. Which would have allowed them to send Doherty on loan. The fact that Wren were the ones who came in and Spence wanted to go there rather changed their planning. And there's no way that this is by design. This is by accident, which sometimes happens. I mean, what you do get in the dying days of the transfer window is panic just about everywhere, because I still don't understand why people wait until the 59th minute of the 11th hour to do deals they know they want to do on January the 1st, but they do.
It's like studying for an exam, isn't it? You leave it all to the last minute.
It's cramming, definitely.
Yeah, you get your best work done.
I'm learning stupid to me, but there you go.
The Dan Juma acquisition and Pedro Porro, how are Spurs fans generally reflecting on it? I mean, obviously all in the shadow of the mad business that went on at Chelsea, but must be seen as a pretty decent window for Spurs.
I think if you look at it in isolation, it's not too bad. It gives them the right back they needed, another attacking option, particularly as Moore has hardly played. I think Spurs fans still wanted to see a proper centre-half come in, so there'd be disappointment there. And then you look at what's gone on elsewhere and the sheer scale of Chelsea's expenditure. And therefore, it conditions everyone in a way that perhaps it shouldn't, but it does. And Chelsea have broken the mold, simple as that, not just in this window, but the one before. So this season, their expenditure is would have previously been inconceivable. And yet they've done it. And one wonders quite how they balance the books, except by selling four or five English probably players, certainly players towards the end of their contracts for big money in the summer.
So many players have come in and it's almost like a challenge to sort of maintain stability there, Martin. Like, I mean, it's not like a sprinkling of talent into the squad. They've almost bought an entire first full team.
Well, they have bought the new team. I think that's the signal to those who were here before that they're not going to be part of the long term. But they're not even going to be part of the short term, really. They'll be part of they'll be gone in the summer. There'll be a mass clear out. And a bit of that is the first time in the 20-odd years since Abramovich took over, it's the players who are being got rid of, not the manager. It's a clear decision made by the new owners as a signal to the dressing room that we run the club, you don't. And let's be honest, the Chelsea dressing room has effectively determined for many years who the manager will be, or at least when the manager would go.
Does it create a dangerous precedent in football, Martin, seeing Chelsea spend? I saw someone pointing out the amount of money they'd spent for almost a little bit more, they could have bought West Ham United, which kind of puts in perspective the amount of money Todd Bowley has thrown out there. It's a bit mad.
It is a large sum, and it's unsustainable. You can't keep on doing this because the club would go bust. Or at least it would breach all the rules and therefore be banned from Europe in 4 years. So this is a one-off hit. The problem for Chelsea, or the dilemma rather, is a lot of... They bought 15 players. At least 8 of them have got to really work. Because if they don't and they want to get rid of them, they're going to sell them for a loss. Because it isn't just the transfer fee, it's the amount left on the transfer fee when you've amortised over such a long period of time. So if Mudryk doesn't work, I think he will, Mike, but if Mudryk doesn't work and they flog him for 40 million in 4 years' time, that's zero. That's not 40 million they bank. That's nothing they bank because they still owe 40 million from the original transfer. So they can't afford too many flops. And they also absolutely have to be in the Champions League because that's 80 million in revenue.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Quirky on YouTube here says, Martin, any thoughts on who might be future Spurs keeper? Which seems to suggest an inevitability that there will be one possibly in the next window.
I think they're looking to buy the replacement, whether that's the immediate replacement for Luis or the one in a year's time. They've looked at a few. Melier's been considered, Raya at Brentford. I did see him link with the chap at Atletico, but I'm not sure that he's had a great couple of years, actually. Clearly, it's coming to that point. I don't think they feel it's desperate, and they still like Luis because of his stability in the dressing room, because of his mentality, the fact that he's actually quite a big, prominent voice in that dressing room. And he just had a bad couple of weeks. He wasn't doing that badly when he saved the penalty from Kane in the World Cup. You know, I think people always looked at for negatives, which is understandable, but perhaps not necessarily the right thing to do. I suspect he'll do one more year and they'll bring in someone to play alongside him. But what they need is to get someone in who can genuinely challenge him and phase him out over the next 18 months.
The last time we had you on, Martin, I think it was just after the City defeat, if I'm right. And I do remember clearly we spoke about the Conte's. You very eloquently spoke around his understandable desire to leave for home given life events, and that he had basically, and I don't want to misquote you, but I think it was essentially that he'd lost a bit of his mojo given what had gone on outside of football. What's the Fulham and Preston results and the wins in the meantime, obviously, has, and the way he's spoken, has any of that gone to change your mind, or are you still of the same view?
Well, perhaps what we heard yesterday might explain it all, is that he was feeling lousy because of his gallbladder. Mm. And that might explain why, with other things as well, he became Mr. Grump. I still suspect that he has... This is still a fact. The fact that these deaths very close to him are clearly playing on his mind. I think even Stellini said that, didn't he, a couple of weeks ago. I do think it's a factor. But, of course, time softens blows and things can change. If you're asking me at this moment, do I think he's manager next season? No, actually. I think Pochettino will be. But that doesn't mean I'm right. And if he wants to stay and they want him to stay, then he will stay. They'll give him a better deal. I think the next few months will determine everything. If Spurs end up fourth or third, unlikely, but if they end up fourth or third, with money spending this summer as well, and they've already got the left back to come in from Udinese, who looks quite talented and doing very well. So they've got two from aggressive attacking fullbacks, exactly, or wing backs, exactly what he wants for his shape. You've got a Conte-style team there if you can buy in a dominant centre-half. So things might look better from everyone's point of view if that's the case.
There's a vagueness about the utterance that have come from the club about his surgery and his recovery time specifically. Is he going to be on the line this weekend?
I would think not. I would hope not, actually. Yeah. Not because I don't want him on the line, but yeah. I don't think it would be good for him. I think he's got to listen to his doctors. I've read serious medics talking about a 3 to 4 week recovery for an operation like this. Now, it's not exactly manual labour, but he's a very full-on coach. He's a micromanager on the training field, and you can't do that if you're still feeling pain. And what I also read somewhere is that as a consequence of this operation, he'll feel quite potentially very serious pain in his shoulders because of the gas that's released by the operation. So, you know, probably the best thing would be to try and have a week or 10 days, fortnight recovery and then come back rather than trying to come back too early. But he's a football manager and you never tell them what to do.
And it's nightmare timing, isn't it? Like, I mean, geez, of all the teams to be playing.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it's a bit of a shot to nothing, isn't it? Because although, bizarrely, City have never scored at the Tottenham Stadium, they're going to soon, aren't they? I mean, they're bound to because they're really good. And I don't think too many fans going there in normal circumstances would expect Spurs to get a win on Sunday. I certainly wouldn't.
Christian Stellini, the assistant, was the man who took the line in November when Conte was suspended against Marseille. Martin, is it him straight away in taking training and on the sideline for matches? What's the leadership?
I mean, you've also got Conte's brother there. And Conte will be on the phone, no question, and he'll be trying to relay things. But Stellini is the chosen one, the disciple, the assistant, his master's voice. I mean, he has been in the past. He took the team for 3 games at Juventus when Conte was banned for misbehaviour on the touchline. He did the same in Marseille in that final Champions League game, if you remember, before Christmas.
There's clearly no question but that Antonio Conte would want Tottenham to win that game, but it's just a bit of a nightmare for him if they do go ahead and win it and he's not there to take the credit.
Oh, I think he'll live with that. I'm sure he'll take the credit whether he's there or not.
What's going to happen, Martin? What's your view of what happens on Sunday?
Oh, City will win because they're the better team, and also I think they've got a desperation. You never know. Spurs could turn up. I mean, you wouldn't have imagined they'd be 2 up at City the other week, would you? So it's football. Anything's possible. I think City are better. But, I mean, the ultimate irony from a Spurs perspective would be Spurs beat City and therefore hand Arsenal the title, wouldn't it? That would be the kick in the guts for any Tottenham supporter. It goes. But more important for Spurs is finishing top four. Now, beating City against the odds will get them level on points with the clubs above them and right in that mix.
I was so close to blowing open the whole thing against City that day. Like, you know, hanging on at 2-0 even for a draw at that stage, you know, it obviously hugely increases their opportunity to get into the top four, blows open the title race. You just can't trust them, Martin, is the
never
issue.
Could.
Yeah.
But this is one of the reasons people support Tottenham Hotspur, because you don't know what you're going to get from day to day. There's none of this, you know, certainty of glory or, oh God, we'll lose again, or there's a bit of that, because you just don't know. And you never have, certainly not for the last 40 years. But part of being a football fan is that uncertainty, because only one team can win. You know, if you only support the winners, what would be the point? It'd be dull. You're allowed to support teams that let you down. And part of it is it's a way of getting out things from all your pressures at work, isn't it? That's football. That you want to win, but it's about being... Most people want to go to be with their pals because it's tradition, because it's a family thing, because they want to take their kids, whatever it might be. The event is what matters more than the result. Result helps, but it's the event that matters.
You mentioned, Martin, the desire of Spurs fans to have picked up a decent centre half in the transfer window. I guess now you have to wait until the summer. Any names that were mooted in particular? I'm thinking of Harry Maguire sitting on the bench at Old Trafford.
Now they're looking at Hincapie at Bayer Leverkusen. It's definitely one they're looking at. There's the Korean who is now at Napoli, used to be at Ferencvaros, although I think, why would you leave Napoli at the moment? They could be the best team in Europe. Mm. Certainly it's a shout for them. Definitely the best team in Italy. And there's another couple that, I mean, they were interested in Skriniar, but he's done for PSG in the summer. In fact, that's why they tried to get him through a bit early, but he's on a free transfer to them. But I don't think there's any serious interest in Maguire at this point. They may come in the summer. Who knows? I mean, I don't think he's the worst option in the world, to be honest.
Really? I'm surprised that a team with top four ambitions would be interested in Harry Maguire.
Well, he's a good English centre-half. He's had a bad trot, but did he play badly in the World Cup?
He seems to have the ability to raise his game England.
Could be a good
fit. I think there will be a lot of United fans very frustrated with him.
Well, I mean, it's interesting. I think possibly the biggest problem for Maguire, and it wasn't his fault, was the price tag.
Yeah.
If he'd been a 45 million centre-half rather than 80 million centre-half, he'd have been judged differently. Well, he wouldn't be an 80 million centre-half now. He'd be a 30 million centre-half.
Mm. And to be fair to Maguire, he's a proper professional as well. I know, look, most players are, but, you know, he puts the head down and he hasn't put in a strop at Old Trafford, you know, as he's been sitting on the bench. He came off the bench the other night against Forest in the Carabao Cup, but he just hasn't got the game time, and he hasn't been complaining, which is a good mark of a player to bring in.
Yeah, I think that's it. It can't go on forever, because if it goes on forever, you're Phil Jones, aren't you?
Mm.
And it looks as though you're not that fussed anymore. You're just staying for the money. So I think if he doesn't play much between now and the summer and it's clear he hasn't got a future, then he knocks on the door. But he doesn't want to be disruptive. Maybe he thinks that actually there's still a chance I'll be getting him really involved by the end of the season, because footballers need to be optimistic, don't they?
What happens with Chelsea Fulham tonight, do you think?
The most interesting thing is how many of the new boys play. Yeah. I think Felix is he free now from his suspension? I'm not sure. Or has he got one more? I'm not quite sure on that. So Mudryk will start, I'm sure. If Enzo's registered, I think he is, he'll start. It will be fascinating to see how it all comes together, because there's an awful lot of them. And what also be interesting will be the attitude of the three or four of the senior older players, I don't count Santos, who've been signed and then get told, sorry, you're not in the Champions League squad, because they can only change three of those, and that'll be public. Well, the deadline for that was midnight last night, so UEFA will publicise it either today or tomorrow. I think Chelsea will probably have to put it out today, to be honest.
Yeah, all right, we look forward to the weekends. Thanks a million, as always, for Martin Lipton, writer with The Sun. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, bye-bye.
OTB AM with Gillette. Get into your flow with the new Gillette Labs Razor with exfoliating bar.